and he's got it going. Watch this dunk by Daryl Dawkins. Watch his backboard shake when he knocks it down. Here it comes. Look at that backboard swing.
Dix is double teamed quickly to Bobby Jones. Collins moves it to Dawkins.
That is a play. That was a gorgeous play. Watch how quickly he gives it up, and again how quickly Collins gives it up. And nobody's going to block this shot by Daryl.
An exciting game with the NBA. Brown a dunk, it counts, and he's fouled.
Well, this will hurt more than your pride right there. He just swings the ball around like it's on a pendulum with that big left hand.
Irving inside to Collins. And Dawkins looms free to put it away.
Daryl Dawkins can do what most centers cannot do.
You realize he would only, I believe, be a junior in college this year.
Inside, Dawkins. Oh, shake down the ceiling here in Portland. The big fella wanted that one. Don't nobody get in my way.
Here's Dawkins. Oh, what a muscle move. He just tore the hoop from the backboard, and of course the impact just shattered the glass.
To Doug Collins, to Daryl Dawkins. Oh, hey, he did it again. He broke it again. He's broken another backboard. That's twice in one season. And the crowd goes nuts. And there's the hoop down on the floor. He just ripped the basket from its mooring. Just tore it loose.
Daryl Dawkins has done it again.
Inside Dawkins. What a monster smash that was. Dawkins rolling.
Oh, look at that move. That's the best play I've seen this season. Watch how many men he jumps over down here. Look at three Phoenix Suns inside. Look how high above him he is. His head was rim level.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, interesting story concerning one of the greatest basketball players to ever play, who again sadly passed away yesterday. At the age of 58. Yeah, far, far too young. You know, interesting story here that I was reading about when it comes to Duncan Daryl Dawkins. He was once summoned in the Philadelphia 76ers locker room to meet a pretty big celebrity who wanted to meet the man known for dunking with backboard breaking force. I mean, Daryl Dawkins. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen his highlights, but he was really the first guy who started ripping down backboards and shattering them. He was actually the first athlete I had ever seen do that. When it came to highlights, there's countless montages of Daryl Dawkins going up with two hands and slamming down a dunk and the glass backboard actually shattering as he rips down the rim and the glass comes down on his back. I mean, crazy stuff. But anyway, you know, so there's one celebrity that really wanted to meet Daryl. The guest was Grammy Award winner, one of my favorite artists of all time, the great Stevie Wonder. Now, even though Stevie, of course, is blind, he could tell there was something really creative and really different about Daryl Dawkins' game. And during a 2011 interview, Dawkins told the story of how Stevie actually gave Daryl his nickname, Chocolate Thunder. And Daryl went on to say, quote, "A guy who never saw me gave me the name Chocolate Thunder." And it's a name that, of course, stuck throughout his entire career. And I really couldn't believe it at first. I mean, because you see so many, you know, different hoaxes and so many different fables online when you scour the net sometimes. And, you know, it's kind of the same reaction that I had when I first read about, you know, the trouble that Derrick Rose may be in concerning his incident with a young woman who was accusing him of rape. I didn't believe it. I'm like, okay, let me confirm this with other news outlets, a credible one, to make sure that this actually occurred. So, again, it didn't happen, until, you know, like a few minutes after we got off the air on yesterday's show when the news officially came out. So I saw it on Twitter. I had to, you know, go to a few different news and media outlets and Yeah, it was sadly true. Daryl Dawkins passing away yesterday in Pennsylvania, 58 years old. He actually spent parts of 14 seasons in the NBA with Philadelphia, New Jersey, Utah, and don't forget, that's right, Detroit. He averaged 12 points, 6 rebounds in 726 regular season games, and his 57.2 field goal percentage is the 7th best in NBA history. Wow. I tell you what, Daryl Dawkins, he's a guy who will forever be remembered in basketball lore, and I'm sure the basketball community and just sports community in general will certainly miss him. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Exciting show today. Our guest for today's show, who will be joining us around the 1:30 mark, you don't want to miss it. I'll be chatting with Eric Doc Love, who is a high school sports commentator for 92.1 FM, The Team. Actually, I filled in for Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who, of course, is on the road right now, still doing play-by-play baseball for the Lansing Lugnuts, whose season is not over. So they always give me a ring to link up with Doc, and fill in as the play-by-play voice for high school sports. So I do basketball and football, and, of course, Doc and I always open up the year with each other. We opened it up last year, I remember, with the East Lansing and St. John's football game. And last night we did so with the Portland and Ovid Elsie high school football game, which took place at Portland High School. Entertaining game. It was very close at the start, but then Portland was able to pull away a 29-7 victory for the Red Raiders last night. Fun game to call. And speaking of East Lansing and St. John's, we'll actually be broadcasting that game tonight. So I guess it's like an annual thing. We always have to broadcast the East Lansing and St. John's game. So Doc does a great job in breaking down the games and doing research and just giving great analysis of what is going on out on the gridiron and on the hardwood. So Doc is actually going to join us around the 1:30 mark to talk about what he's most excited for with high school football being back and in action here in mid-Michigan. He'll give us a recap of last night's Portland and Ovid Elsie game. He'll give us a preview of tonight's East Lansing and St. John's game, and also talk about what games they have scheduled to broadcast throughout the year on 92.1. So you don't want to miss that. And also later on, we'll have Reflection Friday for you, and our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Of course, if you don't know, if you're a first-time listener, Isaac is actually born and raised out in New Orleans. So this 10-year anniversary of one of the most devastating natural disasters that we have ever experienced here in the United States of America, Hurricane Katrina. Tomorrow actually will be the 10-year anniversary of that devastating hurricane that ripped through New Orleans and left a lot of people homeless. Many people died during that entire stretch. Just really sad stuff. So this surely hits home for him, and he has been working very diligently and very hard on a montage to commemorate what took place 10 years ago. I want to actually invite him right now, the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, yeah. Been a quick 10 years for me, so I'm excited for you guys to hear it. I'll save a little bit for the montage itself because hopefully it's pretty good. I was working, as you know, Al, up to through the quick hit headliners on this. This is the closest I ever cut it. I got here about 30 minutes earlier than I usually did, but I really wanted to do a good job with this. I didn't have time to preview it even, so it'll be my first time listening to the montage as well. So I'm looking forward to
it. I'm sure it will be flawless, my friend. Yeah, you have certainly been working hard throughout the morning to bring that to us. All right, Isaac, well, I want to start first, ladies and gents, by talking about Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. If you missed our Quick Hit headliners, it's being announced out of the camp of the Cleveland Browns that Johnny Manziel is apparently done for the preseason. Manziel's sore right elbow will keep him from playing Saturday night against Tampa Bay, and Cleveland Browns coach Mike Pettine said, given the fast turnaround for the finale Thursday against Chicago, he can see the quarterback missing that game as well. Now, Pettine said the plan had been for Manziel to play against Tampa Bay starters in the second quarter and for a half against Chicago. And this is really unfortunate because if you look at, you know, the timeline of Johnny Football here in the league, first off, I remember when he was drafted. What's that now, 2 years ago? I remember when he was drafted, there was a lot of hoopla surrounded around Johnny Football because of the career he had in college. He was one of the most talked about athletes that we've ever seen in college football. And, you know, this brought a immediate jolt of energy into the fans and into sports in general. And, you know, with I remember when the draft happened and you know, the Browns took Johnny Football, there were many people that alluded to, of course, LeBron James returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now, you know, you have Johnny Football to be excited about. You got LeBron James back in his hometown playing. And you know, Cleveland was, you know, was certainly, you know, at an all-time high. But as we all know, especially in the NFL, and this is why the preseason is so important, you still have to battle it out. And when Johnny, you know, Johnny had to earn that and still has to earn that starting QB spot. Many people want to see Johnny Manziel out there because of what we saw in college. He was an electrifying quarterback, a guy, you know, who, you know, was such a great improviser when things would break down. And he, you know, some of the plays you look at, it kind of remind me of Brett Favre. And, you know, he would just get out of the pocket and just pull off these miracles. So, you know, when looking at Johnny Manziel, of course, the Cleveland Browns fans and personnel alike are excited for him because, you know, they haven't had an athlete on the football field to generate that much excitement. What, since like what, Jim Brown? I think we could legitimately make that argument. So people want to see what he's got. And we haven't seen him really play. Again, we saw him, you know, go through that whole rehab stint where he got away from the game of football. And, you know, due to his partying and other off the field antics, I guess you can say, he decided to check himself into rehab to get his mind right before the football season started. So you certainly want to see him out there. And I think this is just pretty unfortunate and will be looked at as a setback. It is a setback for him, seeing as though that we won't see him in the preseason anymore. And he probably won't be the starting quarterback to begin this year now. Isaac, I want to see the kid play. I want to see what he's got out there.
Me too, but I always thought he was overhyped going into the NFL because Manziel was irresponsible and all of that. Yeah, that plays a part. But the fact that compounded with his size and his quickness to run, he's so run-oriented as a quarterback, and I never like picking those guys in the draft because I think the NFL is and will be in the foreseeable future a pocket passer league. But Johnny Football, you know, he wants to run such he's just so one-minded about that. And Johnny Manziel, the other part about him is he's, what, 6'2"? That should not be your build that you go for with a quarterback. Now, we see guys like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson pull it off. But that's not the go-to type of quarterback you want. That's the exception, not the rule. And therefore, Johnny Manziel, with that compounded by his work ethic issues, I never thought it would work. And I'd be surprised even if he does start later this year, which I think he will, if he does anything special. I think it won't be worth the hype whatsoever.
Well, I think, first off, the kid has to get a legitimate shot. I do believe that. And I think a lot of the reason, and I'm sure this crossed the minds of, you know, Mike Pettine and the Browns organization when they saw Johnny Manziel on that board and decided to pull the trigger. They wanted to bring some excitement to this organization. The Cleveland Browns have not been football relevant when you talk about Super Bowl contenders in quite some time. So when you have a draft like that and you draft Johnny Football, you're not just looking at the intangibles of what he can do on the football field. You also want to put butts in the seat that translate into more money for the organization. I think that also was a factor in one of the reasons why they drafted Johnny Manziel. Now, going on the other aspects that you talked about, Isaac, as far as Johnny Manziel, you know, he's 6 feet tall. He's not this uber tall quarterback. He's not the ideal build that you want. And he's not really the ideal quarterback, you know, that when you look at and say, okay, he's a pocket passer, like you said. Now, I have to disagree with you as far as, you know, pocket, this being just a pocket passing quarterback league and those guys being, you know, more uber successful than other quarterbacks in the league. Because I think a guy like Russell Wilson is a guy you can point to. And, you know, Russell is a guy who's very, very flexible and is this guy who's not just going to sit in the pocket and just pass all day on you like a Peyton Manning is. He's very mobile. He can put the football on the ground as well. And he's got a Super Bowl to his testament at the end of the day. And I think other guys like Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick had immense success when he first came into the league is not being just a pocket QB. And I think at the end of the day, if you can play the game of football, you can play the game of football. Size, certainly it helps to be tall, but I don't think you need to be, you know, this 6'4", 6'5", QB sitting in the pocket because we're seeing other guys in the league have success, who aren't that tall, to be honest. If you can play and if you're athletic, there's a place for you in the NFL. So I really think at the end of the day, you know, this is going to be yet another setback for him. He's going against guys like Connor Shaw, Josh McCown. I just saw not too long ago, like 7 hours ago, actually, they just signed Pat Devlin to a contract, who's a quarterback as well. So, I mean, you talk about, like, what, 6 guys competing for this starting job. I mean, Thad Lewis, Tyler Tigpen. I mean, these are all guys who are competing for that starting position. And now with Johnny Manziel and this injury, I don't know when we're going to see him. I think, you know, he may have to go somewhere else. I don't know. I mean, maybe Cleveland isn't the right place for him. Maybe he'll be shipped after this if he doesn't get a shot this year at being a starting quarterback in this league. But I do believe he will get a shot. If not with the Cleveland Browns, certainly somewhere else.
Al, if he can't play for the Cleveland Browns, though, where's he going to play? The Cleveland Browns is one of those teams with a quarterback battle which is up for grabs. The starter, in my opinion, week one, will likely be Josh McCown, who's bounced around the NFL from team to team for years on end. Then they've got Connor Shaw, Thaddeus Lewis, Rex Grossman, the worst starting quarterback ever to make a Super Bowl, but he did it with a 0 quarterback rating in several games. But so no, Pat Devlin, former Penn State guy, he's pretty good. I think he's also going to be in that mix, but he can't flat out win and impress in the Browns. Where's he going to start? Because the Raiders have a quarterback, so
I don't think it's a conversation about whether or not Johnny Manziel can play the football and can compete against these guys, because I surely think he can. But again, he's injured. I mean, with a sore elbow, and the preseason is where you make that evaluation. And when looking at consistency, who is going to be the most consistent out of those guys? If Johnny Manziel is hurt and you're not going to see him anymore throughout the preseason playing one of those games, then you can't make an evaluation on him and you can't plug him in. So that's the reason why he's not getting a shot in Cleveland, because there's a lot of guys out there competing for that position. We're talking about 6 or 7 guys competing for that starting QB position right now, and Johnny Manziel is hurt. So he hasn't had a legitimate time to really show what he can do. Somewhere else where there's the quarterback depth isn't that great and where they can take a risk, one of the bottom barrel teams in the NFL, you better believe they may pull that trigger on giving Johnny Manziel a shot. And hopefully there's no distractions for Johnny Football and he stays healthy to really compete. He hasn't really had an opportunity to really compete for that position since he's been in Cleveland here, Isaac.
No, he hasn't. But Al, the thing with me is, I know you can have those 6-foot quarterbacks that can run and all of that, because Russell Wilson, you and I had this debate, I don't think he's top 5, but he's a excellent quarterback. He really is an excellent quarterback. So anyway, but that's the exception. The best quarterbacks in the league are by and large 6'5", 6'4", even taller sometimes. And Johnny Football is not that. He's had work ethic issues and he's failed to show enough to merit a chance. I know he's injured right now, and maybe he'll get his chance this year, but even last year, when he played just a couple of snaps and I think he started one game against the Bengals. He was not impressive. I know it's not a large sample size, but he had two interceptions, a fumble, no touchdowns, only completed 50% of his passes. Al, I don't think this guy has much of a future in the NFL little we've seen.
And that's my point here. We haven't seen really what Johnny Football can do. Again, a very small sample size. He's had distractions in the past. He's going to get a shot. And I think Johnny Football is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's just a matter of time, though. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, folks, we'll be on the phone with Eric Doc Love of the team, 92.1 FM. Doc is going to give us a preview of the high school football year, as well as recap what took place in the world of high school football last night and what he's looking forward to. You don't want to miss all of that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Yesterday, the Michigan State football team, they came out with, their captains. They announced their captains yesterday, and their captains are going to be Darian Harris, Shalee Calhoun, and, of course, Jack Allen. And I went on record yesterday to say that, because there was a lot of shock and awe. I got a few tweets here and there. I got Texas, a lot of people out there were just surprised that quarterback Connor Cook was not named as one of those captains. Now, this was a complete team vote. The coaches did not have a say, not even one vote. Not even Coach D'Antonio had a vote as to who would be named as the captains for this upcoming year. And there were just many people that were shocked that Connor Cook, who is the quarterback of this squad, who may go down if he has a stellar year this season as well, may go down as the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State football history. He's won a Rose Bowl. He's won a Cotton Bowl. He's been unbelievable. I mean, 2 11-win seasons. He's been fantastic. But, you know, there are many people out there that were just surprised that a guy with that type of resume, a guy who plays the quarterback for a football team like the Spartans, is not named as the number one guy, or I should say as a captain on this squad, because he is the number one guy. Naturally, I think as a quarterback, you are naturally a leader for the squad. But a lot of people are just surprised that he wasn't named a captain. First off, for me, Isaac, I just believe that captainship and captains, yes, they hold a lot of weight because, you know, especially when you have a team vote, because the team is saying that these are the guys who rally the troops. These are our quote-unquote leaders of the squad. Shalee Calhoun went on record yesterday after practice to say that Connor Cook is also a captain for this team. I think naturally, if you play the quarterback position, you are a leader. You have to be a leader because it's the most important position out there on the football field. I mean, you have the football in your hands 99.9% of the time on offense. You're in charge of making sure the offense runs cohesively. That is a natural leadership position. So I definitely see where Shalee Calhoun is going with that. But I say that captains are overrated in this respect. I believe that you don't have to be named as a captain in order to lead. It's a title, and it's a clear title. It's a visual title. But at the end of the day, there are other leaders on that team that may not be named as captains. I think that reigns true for any franchise, any ball club that you're talking about. So at the end of the day, I think people are making a big deal out of over nothing, if you ask me.
Oh, I agree, because Connor Cook obviously has the respect and admiration of his peers on the football team. So a captain, just putting a captain name, a C on the shirt, I don't think that adds too much to Connor Cook. Because as a quarterback, you talked about, he's been commanding this team for years now. He knows where to go, what to expect. And the players obviously look up to and listen to him. So, no big deal. I'm sure he doesn't really mind it. And you know what? If he did, these are tough choices to make. There are tons of deserving fourth-year players or fifth-year players on this team, and you can't really argue with any of the choices.
No, you can't. And Connor Cook, again, this is water off his back, I think, because last year, you know, he wasn't named as a captain, and you see the type of season he had. So not a big deal. I think this is a story that's being made into something, and that really isn't about anything, to be honest with you. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I actually called a game with this man last night. We had a great time calling the Portland versus Ovid LC high school football game, in which Portland pulled out a 29-7 victory. They, of course, go to 1-0 on the year. Always want to, you know, it always feels good to get that first win of the year, just to, you know, to feel positive, get that momentum going, and certainly breeds a lot of confidence for your respective squad. So the man who I'm talking about, of course, is Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. Doc, how you doing, my friend? Thanks a lot for joining us on the show today.
Hey, I'm doing good, Al. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, my man. Now, first off, Doc, to start our discussion here, I want to ask you, you know, with high school football being back, with high school sports being back, I mean, what are you the most excited for?
Well, obviously, football season is the best season of all, Al. And you and I talked about this last night. I wait for it as soon as basketball season is over, as soon as they wrap up things at the Breslin Center. I'm ready to go for football. I got to sit through a bunch of baseball. I like baseball enough, but you know, I love getting ready for the season and then finally getting in there like last night and calling a football game. It's so much fun.
There is nothing like it. Is there a certain team or a certain player that you're looking at right now before the season starts, or now that it has started, that you look at and say, man, I can't wait to see what this team or what this individual does?
I mean, there's a bunch of really good players right around here in mid-Michigan. I mean, there's a list of seniors that are real good. Tony Poljan, you can't forget about him. I don't even need to mention him. People start talking about Tony Poljan at Lansing Catholic. I mean, he's such a fantastic quarterback. He's only been playing quarterback for a couple of seasons. He's always really fun to watch. Trent Stone, great running back at Holt. A guy who's got some speed, bit of a bulldozer as well. He had a couple of long touchdowns last night. Holt actually played last night in a Thursday night game. I mean, the list goes on and on as far as, like, guys that I want to see or guys that I'm excited about to see. Those are just two of, like, a list of maybe 20, 25, 30 guys in the area that are just fantastic to watch.
Yeah, and, Doc, you and I, we're actually rocking the mic for that Portland and Ovid LC game. Again, Portland pulling out a 29-7 victory over Ovid LC. Can you sort of give us a recap of what went down last night at Portland High School?
I mean, it was a little bit closer than what the score would tell you. Ovid LC had a lot of chances in the ball game. They put together some drives. They had a lot of opportunities inside opponent territory. And it just really came down to penalties and turnovers, especially for Ovid LC. They had so many opportunities to get back into the ballgame. I mean, it was 7-7 after the first quarter, and then the second quarter, Portland just kind of took over. Their defensive line was so disruptive. I mean, we were talking about guys that you want to see. Mark Brooks, a defensive end and offensive tackle for Portland, is a guy who really had gone under the radar as far as recruiting in this state. I mean, a guy who's 6'7", 275 pounds, somewhere right around there. Mm-hmm. And we saw him drop back in coverage at one point and get an interception. I mean, you got a guy, quarterback cannot throw over a 6'7" guy, Al. That's right. Not going to happen.
Yeah, it was very impressive, too. He did a great job of reading the quarterback's eyes. And, yeah, he'll be taking his talents to Western Michigan University. He will be a Bronco. Yeah, he's a very impressive squad. And you know what? I want to ask you this, Doc, because as the game went on and the time started to wind down in that fourth quarter, of course, it was pretty evident that Ovid LC didn't have a chance at a comeback, and we saw the second and third stringers get some valuable playing time. And we actually saw transfer quarterback from Grand Ledge High School, who's now playing for Portland, Nick Spitzley, come into the game and got a few reps. Could you see transfer Nick Spitzley getting more playing time with Portland as the season goes on, or is Cole McGregor pretty much the guy?
Well, I mean, Cole McGregor's been in the system for Portland since he was a fourth grader. I mean, so he knows the system. He had some struggles last night. He fumbled a couple of snaps, and they turned the ball over a few times to the Raiders. But I think right now McGregor is kind of – he's not entrenched at the quarterback spot, but I mean, he's going to stay there for now. Maybe with Spitzley, as the season goes on, if they keep winning ball games like that and he keeps getting in there and getting some playing time, or if he shows something to Coach Navarro in practice, he might get a little bit more playing time. But I think for right now, McGregor's the guy.
Doc, how good can Portland be, especially when coming off a year in which, you know, they now feel they have a chip on their shoulder? They went 4-5 last season. Of course, they weren't eligible for the postseason. But, you know, as I mentioned last night, I mean, this is a team that has won a state championship not too long ago. I mean, we're talking about 2012 is when they had that state championship in football. How good can Portland be this year?
I mean, it all comes down to their offensive-defensive line. That front seven for the defense last night was so disruptive. They're always in the face of Keegan Sutliff, quarterback for Ovid Elsey. It's going to be based on how well can their defense play. Can they keep teams like Lansing Catholic or Williamson, got, you know, teams in their conference, can keep them down and not let the Cougars for Lansing Catholic score 50 points or whatever it is? And can the offensive line create some holes? Because it's a run team for the Raiders. They want to run the ball and set up that pass. It's a lot of run. They got four or five back that they'll throw at you. I mean, they've got a pretty good chance. I think they got a good opportunity to get back into the playoffs for the first time since 2013. They missed last year. But, I mean, after missing last year, they hadn't missed a playoff since 2002. So they had a nice stretch there of making it into the postseason. I think they can make their way back this year. It's going to be based on defense, especially the front seven, and then that offensive line. Can they create some holes for all those great backs?
Yeah, and you mentioned those running backs. I tell you, I mean, Logan Lefke, he had an 80-yard touchdown. We saw some action from Griffin Hager, Gabe Schrauberin. I mean, a very impressive team moving forward. Now, for the Marauders, for Ovid Elsey, they went 6-4 last year, Doc. Lost in the Division 5 pre-district to Frankenmuth. What do you think their season outlook is like?
Well, it's disappointing, obviously, to go on the road and lose the first game, but they've got some key guys, and they've got some really skilled players that can help them move along. It just comes down to being a little bit more physical. They allowed a lot of guys right past the offensive line into the face of the quarterback. It's going to come down to them being a little bit more physical. I mean, Keegan Sutliff, the quarterback, three-year starter, we saw him. He's mobile. He's accurate. He can get the ball around. He's got a great receiver in Ben Stillwell. He's a deep threat. He had a 66-yard touchdown catch. He just ran past his defender and got that one. And then they got the running back, Devin Kelly, who is really, really talented as well. He has some speed, a little bit of power. And it just comes down to a little bit more consistency and physicality from that offensive line. The defense is decent. They're pretty good. I mean, they gave up the long touchdown to Portland. But other than that, they did a pretty good job of shutting down the Raiders. So they've got a chance. I think they could probably make the playoffs again. You just got to throw that first game out and get back to working at it.
Yeah, you got to have a short memory for sure. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator for the team, 92.1 FM. And actually, we'll be on your guys' sister station tonight, I believe, Doc, 92.9 WLMI. We'll be broadcasting the East Lansing at St. John's game. Can you give us a preview of that one, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Only the sixth time these teams ever met. They played each other last year, St. 45-20, and they really ran around the Trojans in that one. Over 500 yards total in rushing between the guys. Their fullback, who's now a senior this year, Blake Stewart, he had 200 yards and four touchdowns in that ball game. But East Lansing, they struggled a lot last year, only 1-8. They beat Eastern. That was their only win. But Coach Farraco, he's got these guys motivated this year. I feel like East Lansing's got a chance to turn things around, maybe make a run in the CAAC blue. It's a possibility. They've got some real talented weapons. Kentre Patterson, the wide receiver, he's a junior this year. He's a burner. The guy's got great hands, about 6'2", goes up and pulls down the ball. B.J. Powell can do a little bit of everything for these guys, plays a little bit of running back. He can play quarterback. He can play wide receiver. I mean, this guy is going to be all over the field for the Trojans. They've got some talented guys. They had some injury bug last year that kind of put them down in certain positions, like they lost their center, who was real good, Ethan Charmella. And they got some really good defensive players, Quentin Jackson at linebacker. I mean, East Lansing's got an opportunity, the Trojans, to really turn things around and win 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 games this year. It's a tough one to go on the road, especially, you know, to St. John's, and who's just known for their run game. The Red Wings, as a version of the wing T. They got a couple backs that have returned this year. I just mentioned Blake Stewart. They got Steven Linton out there. The defense is pretty solid for St. John's. The biggest thing for them is working on their offensive line. I was talking to Coach Dave Marigee earlier this week, and they're really trying to patchwork. They only got one guy back from that offensive line, so they're trying to get those guys to get out there, you know their assignments, create some holes for these backs. But I don't think it's going to be 45-20 tonight, Al. I think it's going to be a much closer game.
Yeah, certainly. I remember we broadcasted that game last year, and St. John's ran away with it, especially in that second half. And, looking at East Lansing, a team, again, you had to enlighten me last night. I didn't know they only won one game last year. I mean, it's pretty safe to say that that won't happen this season for the Trojans, right?
No, that's not going to happen again. They're going to win a couple games. I think, like I said, I think they'll win 4 or 5, maybe 6 or 7. They could surprise some people on the CAAC blue with Sexton losing a bunch of guys. They actually lost last night to Detroit Renaissance in their opener. They struggled in that game. So, I mean, the CAAC blue, and when we start out the season, any conference is wide open. Anybody can put together a great team and maybe win it this year.
That is very, very true. All right, Doc, before we get you out of here, talk a little bit about the upcoming year that you guys have in store for your listeners and what games you guys will be broadcasting. Because I believe it's a pretty impressive lineup.
Yeah, we've got some real good games. A couple of games are on our sister station, 92.9 WLMI, like tonight. We got East Lansing St. John's, and then next week, Mason at Eaton Rapids. That's because with the Team 92.1, we have Lansing Lugnuts responsibilities, so they got to go on air. So we put a couple of games on our sister station. So Mason at Eaton Rapids next week, that is next Thursday. That'll be on 92.9. We got Lansing Catholic at Williamston the week after that. That's a big CAAC White rivalry matchup. Then you can see Tony Poljan. Talk about Poljan. There you go. You get to see him that week.
There you go.
Okemos at Grand Ledge the week after that. That's a CAAC Blue matchup. Grand Ledge has looked pretty good. They won last night at home. I believe it was Hudsonville they played last night. They had a pretty impressive win. Okemos put up some points last night as well. I mean, Holt at East Lansing, so we're going to see East Lansing again. That's a CAAC Blue matchup. You can see Trent Stone, great running back for Holt. He had a couple touchdowns last night. DeWitt at Hazlett, that's always a big rivalry matchup in this area. That's Friday, October the 2nd. And then the week after that, St. John's at DeWitt, another big rivalry matchup in that game. And then that one, Sexton at Everett. And then the last game of the season is Grand Ledge at Holt, and that's always a huge one. If everybody likes to come down to that one, that's always a big matchup. So, I mean, we got a lot of great games on the Team 92.1 FM and a couple of 92.9 this week, tonight, and next week. But a lot of great teams, a lot of great players. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, man.
Oh, I am certainly looking forward to hitting the mic once again with you tonight, Doc. And again, you guys actually have a show, a high school show that will be airing Saturday morning. I'll be a guest with you guys, Jesse Goldberg, Strasser, and yourself this Saturday. Talk about the pep rally a bit, Doc.
Yeah, the pep rally with Doc and Jesse, that's new this year. We just started last Saturday was our first episode. We were talking about the season, trying to get people ready, what games we're going to broadcast, what teams you should look out for, what players you should be watching. And, 9 to 10 a.m., 92.1 FM, that's the team. You're going to be sitting in there with me. We have a little bit of roundtable. Jesse's going to be out on the road with the Lugnuts. He's going to call in. We're going to talk about the game last night. We're going to break down the game tonight, talk about some of the big games in the area, maybe some of the really good players who had fantastic games this week, and preview the next game coming up next week, the Mason at Eaton Rapids. But yeah, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. We're just talking high school football. We get together, have some discussions, maybe have a debate if we don't agree on something, whatever may pop up. But it's a whole lot of fun. So, I mean, check it out. The Pep Rally with Doc and Jesse and Al, special guest Al Martin, coming up this Saturday on the Team 92.1 FM.
I am certainly looking forward to it, Doc. And again, you can catch us on the air tonight broadcasting the East Lansing at St. John's High School football game on 92.9 FM. There you have it. Eric Doc Love, high school sports commentator. Doc, thanks so much, and see you tonight, my friend.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I will see you in a couple hours.
That's right, 4:30, baby.
All right, yeah, that's right.
There we go. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this edition of WKER's Current Sports by bringing you Reflection Friday, also a 10-year tribute to Hurricane Katrina, which occurred, of course, and really rattled the city of New Orleans, state of New Orleans. So you don't want to miss that and so much more. Do not touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again.
5 miles an hour, gusts much higher than that, bringing with her all kinds of problems. Buildings have collapsed. There are reports from New Orleans of people trapped in buildings that have come down around them. They have made desperate calls to 911 asking for help, asking for rescue, but the rescuers can't get out.
Underwater here in New Orleans tonight, after the giant storm came the rising waters. Over 80% of the city is flooded.
Everyone's just kind of looking up in awe that this is the supposedly the safest place in New Orleans, and this is now, this Superdome is succumbing to this superstorm.
It's been horrible. As I left tonight, darkness, of course, had fallen, and you could hear people yelling for help. You could hear the dogs yelping, all of them stranded, all of them hoping someone will come. But for tonight, they've had to suspend the rescue efforts. It's just too hazardous for them to be out of the boat. There are electrical lines that are still alive. There are gas lines that are still spewing gas. There are cars that are submerged. There are other large objects the boats can't operate. So they had to suspend operations and leave those people in the homes. As we were driving back, we passed scores of boats.
They have clearly lost everything.
Made a headline for missing 6 of his 8 field goal attempts this year, is now back to just punting and kicking off. The former Saint Morton Anderson is here for most field goals. Look out! Right through! A kick block by Steve Gleason! It is scooped and scored by Curtis DeLoach! Touchdown, New Orleans!
Two receivers to the left, Garcon to the right. Manning in the shotgun puts Pally in motion. Looks in his direction.
It's not wet anymore. This is for the city of New Orleans.
But the shadows remain since your descent, your descent.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, and what you just heard was a montage put together by our very own engineer here, Isaac Constance, of course, concerning a tragedy that occurred 10 years ago from tomorrow out in the city of New Orleans. Of course, Hurricane Katrina ripped through New Orleans and left many people homeless. Many people passed away during that harsh time. And actually, Isaac is from New Orleans. Isaac, for you, I'm curious to get your thoughts on your emotions and feelings when you were putting together that rendition that we just heard, as well as when you think about when Hurricane Katrina ripped through your city. I mean, what took place? I mean, where were you when Hurricane Katrina, you know, was on the horizon coming towards New Orleans?
Well, Al, first off, I've got to say, not just New Orleans. First off, all of the Gulf Coast really struggled with it, including Mississippi and Alabama. Those people went through it too. But my personal experience in New Orleans, which 80% of the city was flooded, almost 2,000 deaths, and over 100,000 African Americans alone have not returned to the city of New Orleans. So that's an astounding stat. So New Orleans is still on the upswing, but it is on the upswing. It's back, and I love it. So anyway, though, my experience, I actually had a flag football practice the morning we evacuated. So nobody thought it would be that bad. We drove away, boarded up the windows, thought we'd be back in 3 or 4 days, nothing unusual. And we stayed in Jackson, Mississippi, and then actually went to Atlanta and stayed with total strangers once it became apparent that the storm had gotten so bad. We didn't know if our home was safe, if it had been flooded, if we'd ever come back. And those people in Atlanta were so kind to us. I've got to give great thanks to them. But anyway, so in Atlanta, we were there for 6 months. Fortunately, our house did not flood, one of the few that didn't really. And we came back. I remember coming back to an apocalyptic scene. That's how I describe it, apocalyptic, because the grass was 4 feet high. Leaving and coming back, there are people sobbing on the radio saying prayers to the Lord, just asking, because that's all you can do in that situation. So it's amazing to think. And then the end of that montage, I've got to say, because that's the rebirth part. That's the New Orleans part. That's the New Orleans spirit. So the Saints really helped out with that. Steve Gleason, who now has ALS, fighting through that, is still going. Representing the spirit of New Orleans and stays back on the upswing. And the Saints played a big part of that. I'll never forget it. So a great experience overall, but sad it happened to my city.
So you were in Atlanta, if I quote you directly, or quote you correctly, six months you were in Atlanta.
6 months. We started off, our cousin's cousins lived in Atlanta, and they didn't have room for us in their house. So we stayed with some neighbors of theirs that lived across the street, an elderly couple who sadly passed away later. But then we eventually got an apartment 3 months later and then stayed there for 3 months, went to school before we finally felt safe to come back.
Was your home flooded? I mean, what about your home?
My house luckily was not flooded. We had a decent bit of roof damage, but that's the best you can hope for. That's lucky. So we were really blessed and lucky to go through that and have the experience that we did, because so many people had it worse. I think every single relative of mine actually had a house that was flooded or washed away.
Wow. Never forget, right? 10 years ago from tomorrow. And I believe President Obama, he addressed the residents of New Orleans yesterday. And I just saw right here, you know, coming through my Twitter feed that George W. Bush is in New Orleans as we speak. I guess he may make a few comments as well. But yeah, I don't know. I can't top that reflection Friday, my man. For me, again, you know, we've had an outstanding week here on the show. Had a lot of great guests. I want to remind folks, if you did not catch last night's Current Sports TV sit down with the one, the only David Mad Dog DeMarco, you really missed out. But you really didn't, because you can catch it online right now. So if you go to video.wker.org, you can catch my chat with Mad Dog. You get to see my feature on the Lansing Football League Hall of Fame, as well as Michigan State Volleyball Media Day. There's footage from the Michigan State men's basketball team out in Italy and so much more. Check out that episode again by going to video.wker.org. Got to announce that next week I'll be chatting with Curtis Blackwell, who is the head of recruiting, the recruiting coordinator for the Michigan State football team. And, you know, I do have one montage I do want to play, one bite I want to play from Jim Harbaugh. If you could play this one, Isaac, it's the Jordan one. And, you know, where you know, of course, Michigan has a new deal with Michael Jordan's apparel company. Listen to this.
Can I ask you to clarify something? There was a report that Michael Jordan reached out to you about this Jumpman Nike deal. Is that true? And can you talk about that conversation?
Yeah, my phone rang and it's a number that I didn't know, and I said hello, and I didn't catch the whole name because just, you know, sometimes the cell phones cut out half. Sometimes I got part of it and said, excuse me, I didn't get phone cut out. Who is this? And said, this is Michael Jordan. I said, come on. Come on. Who is this really? He says, is this Mike? He says, this is Michael Jordan. I said, the real Michael Jordan? So, yeah, that's kind of how it went. But it was really cool. Sarah was very, very impressed that Michael Jordan called me.
So you have the logo on. I mean, is that going to be weird if that logo's on a football?
It's going to be awesome.
How cool is that, right? Congrats to U of M on that new deal with Michael Jordan. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports Throughout the Week with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic weekend. Be safe, folks. And as always, be easy, people.